It is the third day of May, a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to look at the futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
You're right. Those warm temperatures sure do feel good, Todd.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we've had warm temperatures. It really is nice to have 65, 70, 75, sometimes even close to 80 degrees. It feels awfully, awfully good. But it also makes people feel like we ought to have a crop up and growing in the field. And that's just not the case yet for corn or soybeans for the most part.
No, I was going to say, I've had a lot of calls in the last 3 days from the people that listen to you and others west of Bloomington. They're starting to really feel pinched at this point in time. And I think that's probably a good place to start with the end of the week, because the weather updates at midday were kind of surprising. If you looked at them face value, you would have thought, I think, that the Dease corn would have been heading towards its highs for the day instead of back towards its lows. But I think, and that's because there's another system coming at the middle part of next week on the updated models that essentially says after Wednesday everything's going to get scrubbed again if these models are accurate. But that's the catch. I think the reason the trade didn't bite into that apple, so to speak, was because the midday models haven't been representing a very good picture in terms of accuracy, and that this cutoff low this past week and what we're dealing with right now has been back and forth, and people who were supposed to be getting rain by now have not. Others who should have been out from under it are not. And so I think the trade kind of backed away from trading the weather at the very end of the day.
Hey, December corn this week on the weekly charts picked up 29.5 cents.
Right.
It settled at, $5.53.5. Down 5.5 actually for the day, but up 23.5 on the week. And I went back and looked to see when the high was in that contract. It was September or Labor Day weekend or thereabouts of 2012 at $6.65. So we're $1.15 off the top of that. But we're in a completely different situation, of course. We're late, but that doesn't mean we're not going to get a corn crop planted. What do you think producers ought to do?
Well, I think they've already told me what they're going to do for the most part. The ones that were stuck with deciding whether they were going to put anhydrous or chemicals down for corn earlier this week, whether they were in Kentucky or whether they were in northern Indiana near the lake, which they've been running for 3 or 4 days now, or whether they were in spots in Illinois that were able to go a little bit this week as well, or whether they were out west further, they pretty much said to me, I would rather push it right now with the idea that we're going to get higher prices for December corn on lower yields and that my revenue will still be better on corn, even if I have 125, 130 bushel yields. If corn is back up at $6.50, $7, that's still going to cash flow better than trying to go to beans. So I think they've already made the commitment, and that's where some of the acreage numbers that I've been playing with ahead of the USDA report next week, I didn't build as many bean acres in from the corn as I was originally thinking I would.
Hey, speaking of yield and total crop production, have you taken a look at consumption for the coming year? Because that'll make the biggest difference, I suppose, in what price looks like. We certainly don't need a 14 billion bushel crop, but if we end up with, a 12.5 or 13, we might make it perfectly fine, I suppose.
Yeah, this is something that was being talked about during the week and probably took a little bit of the bullishness out of the corn market, because some of the private analysts out there were saying, yeah, maybe we will only have about a 13 billion bushel crop or maybe even as low as a 12.5 billion bushel crop, but we're only going to need 12 billion bushels of total demand anyway. I'm kind of a contrarian at this point from what I can tell, Todd. I'm closer to a 12.9 total demand number for corn, because I do think that exports this past year were historically low, and it's real unlikely that we're going to have exports that low. I also continue to think that we're going to be feeding pretty good and also having a pretty good domestic market from a standpoint of ethanol. So I'm up closer to 13 billion bushels, but there's at least a couple I've seen private estimates that have been floating around in the news wires that are down around 12.5 billion bushels for total corn demand. But you're right, that will make a difference. I think it goes back to, it makes a difference until you look at the global numbers. The global numbers are still going to be historically tight. The United Nations FAO latest report reiterated that again, I think it was late last week, saying we're still going to not really build supplies at all globally, and our stocks-to-use ratios are still going to be down towards the bottom of the 20-year levels, even bottom of the 5-year levels that we've been carrying here lately.
Can I explore the export number with you just a bit more? Because there are some that have simply said, you know, South America, Argentina, Brazil in particular, have picked up part of that export market for corn and look to be a pretty good supplier. The world may stay turned there. Are you saying simply that even if they're in the marketplace, that the supply of corn is so tight that the U.S. Will come back as a primary supplier of the corn market?
Yes, that's right, and I just don't think wheat's going to be as big a competitor. I am estimating that wheat-corn spread to play a much more favorable role in terms of corn foreign demand than it has the last few years. I also would expect that we'll see the dollar not be as negative of a factor, especially when it comes to countries like Japan and South Korea. We also saw today, or this week I guess it was, maybe it was this morning, but China raised their currency band. In other words, they're allowing their currency to appreciate more and increase their buying power. I think we're going to see China play a bigger role in whether it's United States corn or whether it's Brazilian corn or Argentine corn. They've been out of the market the past few years. We've kind of gotten used to that. I am estimating that they'll start to be a bigger role as we go forward here.
Well, can you give us a date on that one? Because that would be a good time, huh?
Yeah, you know me in speculation, Todd. It's like two sides of the opposite coin.
Hey, okay, so you're feeling pretty bullish for the corn market. I'm assuming, given the numbers you have given, that you're not terribly worried about the size of the corn crop in the United States yet. That tells me that maybe you might have a different view for the livestock producers and how much they might think about locking in for the coming year.
Yeah, in fact, the hog guys, I've been starting to lock in this week, doing some summer marketings for the pork side of the equation, given the weak export sales. And also, if we go back down towards that 5.25 level in the December corn, that's where I'll really get eager to get some feed needs locked in for the corn. You're absolutely right. And I think it goes back to corn is friendly in my analysis up to a certain price. I think that's the best way to describe it. And I think to make it more simple going into next week's report, I essentially have two things on my agenda for next week, the report and the cash markets. And the weather is kind of a sideline issue because the weather should automatically be included in the price. And what I want to see technically is, can the December corn and November beans and July wheat all get above their pre-grain stocks report levels, those old highs right around 573, 575 area in December corn, 1281 in November beans, and 740.5 in wheat in July wheat. Very close to those levels when it comes to corn and wheat, quite a bit of distance away when it comes to the beans. But if you get back above those closes after next week's report, I think that changes the look of and the trend in the market and probably brings in the commodities funds and also brings in the end user demand, two things we continue to lack.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time.
You too. Thanks for having me, Todd.
That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana.